All right. Well, let's take our Bibles then.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mention him, but we do need to pray for Pastor Prettyman. We learned last week that he's got prostate cancer. Yeah, yes, yes, ma'am. Thanks for reminding us. Yeah, he's on the list there. He's the second from the bottom, so y'all circle his name and be praying for him. Oh, that's okay. That's all right. It's good to be reminded, even if it's there. So, yeah, amen. All right, let's turn to Romans 8. We'll start in Romans 8 tonight. And we're continuing through our biblical chronology series. And so we've made it all the way up to the current day. And so now is the time where we're going to continue to look at history, but we're going to call it prophecy because it's history that has not been, hasn't come to pass yet. And so we're going to move into our prophecy section of the study. And we just have, I don't know, four or five lessons left, because really what I want to do is just continue to work and build on the timeline that we've started. And so we're going to be going over, we would say, the mountaintops of prophecy. We're just going to go over the various major events that are going to take place and kind of put them in order on a timeline moving forward. But tonight, just sort of introducing the prophecy section, I really want to answer two questions regarding prophecy. And you might be asking, well, we didn't ask any questions. Well, sorry, I'm answering two questions, okay? And so I'm asking them and answering them. But the two questions are this. Number one, why look at it? Why study prophecy? A third of your Bible is prophecy, roughly. And so there's a lot of it in there. So apparently the Lord feels that it's important. It's given us a lot of preserved word of it. But why would we study prophecy? We're going to look at that first tonight. And then the other thing, and I think this is what a lot of people really like about prophecy, is how do we know we're in the end times? Or what makes us think, maybe we should say that, what makes us think that we are in the last days? And so I've called this lesson the trends of the end. And I know that a lot of folks will say signs of the times. I purposefully don't say that. I say trends of the end, and I'll tell you why. I change my wording. It's just wording, but it does mean something. Words mean stuff. And so, but what are the trends of the end? What are we seeing today? And so before we embark on putting our calendar together, which we'll start, Lord willing, next week, if I can finish this lesson tonight, we'll start looking at the map of prophecy moving forward, and really just try to simply use the Bible to build our timeline. That's what we've been doing this whole time. We're going to do the very same thing, except for looking backward, we're going to be looking forward. So, but the questions tonight that I really want to answer are, why look at it? Why study prophecy? What makes us think we're near the end? And the reason I want to look at this question, why study Bible prophecy, is because whenever we hear a lot of prophecy teaching, how does it make you feel? Does it make you feel hopeful or nervous? You can be honest. A lot of times it makes you feel nervous, doesn't it? Okay, did you know in the Bible, every time the church is taught prophecy, it's always with a message of hope? It's always with the message of looking forward to what the Lord is going to do. And so why study prophecy? We'll see right here is because it's the hope of the believer. And so I want us to come at it with the right mindset, you know. I don't have to dig through all the conspiracies about the mark of the beast. Did you know this? I'm not looking for the mark of the beast. I'm not. I can learn what the scripture tells me about it, and I can see that our world is putting that technology together. But I'm telling you, if I spend too much time there, I'm going to start worrying, right? I'm going to start fretting. And so I'm just saying this all up front, and I'll say this the next couple of weeks, but what we're supposed to be looking for as Christians is for Jesus to open up those clouds and take us home. That's where our eyes are supposed to be focused. And if we focus on the world and the things going on around us, we will be discouraged. It is a discouraging, old, sinful world. And yes, it's going downhill fast. I mean, it's going downhill fast. So we're not supposed to focus there. We're not supposed to live there. We live here, but you know what I mean? In our minds, we're not supposed to focus there. We're to focus on the return of the Lord. And so why study prophecy? I got a few reasons First of all, and I didn't really include this in your notes as far as the blanks, but you got a back page if you want to write these verses down. Romans 8, verse 18. We're going to start here. The first reason I like to look at prophecy is because it reminds us of the hope of redemption. Okay? This ain't it for us, ladies and gentlemen. This is not it. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Isn't that a good thing? It is to me. I will thoroughly enjoy being in heaven where everything is under God's perfect plan. Well, that's all under God's perfect plan. Oh, boy. Look at Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Do y'all believe that? The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. You can't even talk about the sufferings of this time in the same conversation with the glory that will be revealed. If you're ever having a bad day, just remember, this is not heaven. This is not eternity. There's great things coming. And so we have the hope of redemption. Look at, that was verse 18. Look at verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know, in verse 22, we read over a lot of stuff there, but look at verse 22. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You see that? That's where we live. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. So one of the reasons we care about end time study is because we're groaning in pain together. You say, man, this life is painful. Yes, it is. It is painful. This isn't all there is to it. There's the hope of redemption. You ever just like maybe worked hard one day and at the end of the day your body just hurt? Just like, where does it hurt? Yes. You ever been right there? Yeah. We get a new body one day. It's not going to do that. All the pains in this life and the turmoil and the drama of the world and the conflict and all the just the stuff, we're just here for the time. The Bible says like a vapor. So why do we look at this? Well, because it should give us hope of redemption. Now, let me give you a couple other things. Look at Revelation chapter number 1. Again, these aren't, I mean, they are kind of related, but I'm just trying to give you some reasons that we're going to look at this, and then I got to get to my lesson because, Revelation 1, the Bible tells us we're blessed if we study it. I want to be blessed. One of the ways I can be blessed is to study this book right here, Revelation. Look at Revelation 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, but notice, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. All right, so one reason we study, especially the book of Revelation, is because the Bible, it just tells us, you're blessed if you read this and study it and keep the things that are written therein. There's some good instruction in this book, and that'll be a point I'll make in just a second when we look at another reason. Okay, so, we're waiting for the hope of our redemption. We're blessed if we study it. Look at Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Why study prophecy? Here's another reason. Revelation 19, look at verse 10. I don't know. I've studied Revelation for many years. I've put a lot of hours in Revelation, It was just about 2 years ago that I saw this verse or saw what was said here and took the time. Have you ever read over something like 1,000 times and not really, you know, thought about what you were reading? And that's kind of, and it just jumped out at me one day. Look at Revelation 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. This is, let me just keep reading. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. So just pause for a second right there. The verse Brother Testerman shared with us, only Jesus is worthy of worship. You see that? So John, you know, he has this miraculous experience, but this angel says, no, hop up. You're not worshiping me. You're worshiping him. Okay. Then he says this. He says, worship God. Look at these words. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What's the spirit of prophecy? The testimony of Jesus. The book of Revelation is called Revelation. Now, y'all won't get that kind of teaching everywhere. No, a lot of people like, they want to call it the apocalypse, right? We're going to study the apocalypse. The apocalypse is, that word means the end of all things, right? And so we study the apocalypse, what do we do? We're going to build bunkers, right? And we're going to, I could get in the weeds here, right? All the stuff that we're going to do because the apocalypse, you know? Do you know it's called Revelation? It's the revealing of Jesus Christ. What's the spirit of prophecy? The revealing of Jesus Christ. It's not the end of all things. Did you know when this book, Revelation, all comes to pass, will just be beginning eternity future? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the story of how our Savior is going to reveal himself to all mankind and once and for all position himself where he belongs, King of kings, Lord of lords. That's the point of prophecy. That's the spirit of prophecy. So this is like, it's like when you are, are you glad Jesus is your Savior? Okay. Revelation is his crowning moment. It's the time when he's already King of kings. He's already Lord of lords. But this is the time when everyone that needs to know is going to know by the time this is over. It's the revealing of Jesus Christ, because the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. So it's his revealing. And of course, that's written in Revelation 19, where he is revealed to the world in the second coming. And so, again, why study it? Because it'd be like watching the Cowboys all year, and then they make it to the Super Bowl and you don't watch. Well, you wouldn't do it, would you? No. Because it's the defining, now don't get excited about that. It's the defining moment, though. I mean, I'm telling you, we are going to be so excited to live and watch Jesus be crowned. It's going to be the best moments. It's going to be the best. We're on the winning side. Okay, so hope of redemption. We're blessed if we read it. It is the testimony of Jesus. Look at 2 Peter 3, and I don't want us to miss this. 2 Peter 3. And if we miss this right here, I think we've missed all the importance of looking at end times prophecy. So pay attention. 2 Peter. Oh man, where is 2 Peter? There it is. Hebrews, James. Got to sing the song. I really sing that song in my head all the time when I'm preaching, because I got so many things on my mind. It's like, ooh, where is Matthew again? It's 2 Peter. I got it. 3. Look, so we're not going to go through the whole chapter, but 2 Peter 3 is a fantastic chapter with end times thoughts in it. Okay, verse 4. Where is the promise of his coming? Okay, that's the context of the chapter, is that the coming of the Lord is being contested by scoffers, and so Peter is making this great argument that the reason he hasn't come back yet is because he's very long suffering. He's letting people giving people more time to be saved. But look in verse number 11. Okay, 2 Peter 3:11. Actually, go back to verse 10. Notice this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. See, that's the context is the day of the Lord, which is referring to, by the way, the second coming, not the rapture, but the second coming. And so he's talking about the Lord returning. He's talking about the judgments that will happen. You know, Peter lets us know nobody's getting away with anything. Our Lord's going to judge it all. But then look at verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. So here's the conclusion. Seeing that this world we're living in is not it, and it will all burn up. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Did you know this? That's the point of prophecy teaching. What? If we believe, I mean, truly, Christian, if you believe Jesus could at any moment open up those clouds and return, if you believe at any moment that the church could be called out, and if you believe the third of your Bible that tells us that Jesus is coming back, I'm telling you, it'll change how you live if you really believe it. I don't know that we all live as if we believe that, but that is why there's so much of it in our Bible. It's kind of like when you got in trouble as a kid and your mom said, my mom didn't do this, but some of you have said this, that just wait till your dad gets home. Well, I tell you what, you're going to be an ideal citizen between that moment and the moment your dad gets home, aren't you? Why? Because you know at any moment he could come rolling down the street and you're in big trouble, right? Now, I don't think we ought to live our lives in that way, like just thinking the Lord's coming back to punish us. I don't mean to make that connection, but if we know we're going to meet our Savior very soon, man, when I meet him, I don't want to be ashamed at his coming. When I meet him, I don't want to be, I mean, I know that there's already going to be a lot of things I'm going to regret the moment I understand all the things I did not do for him. I believe that's going to happen. But when I meet him, I want to meet him as ready as I can possibly be. And so Peter says, if you believe these things, knowing that these things will be dissolved, consider this, what manner of person ought you to be? Look at verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. He's saying we ought to look forward to the Lord return. We ought to look forward to that moment. Hastening unto, hurry up, Lord. Now, depending on how the day's going, a lot of days that's my, hurry up, Lord. I'm ready. Verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. You know what's going to be so great about the new heavens and the new earth? It says, wherein dwelleth righteousness. By the time you close the book on Revelation, there's new heavens, new earth. And there's no sin. There's nothing that corrupts. There's nothing that defiles. It's just righteousness. It's going to be a lot different than the world we live in today. We couldn't say of this world today, wherein dwelleth righteousness, could we? No, because the wicked one is the prince in the power of the air and the ruler of the darkness of this world. So we have this to look forward to. Peter says, if we understand that, it ought to change how we live. Look at verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Be diligent. What does it mean to be diligent? It means to take care. It means to work hard. It means to perspire if necessary in giving effort. Be diligent, what? Well, to be found in him, of him, in peace, without spot and blameless. So you see what Peter's doing there? He's teaching some truth about the prophecy and end times. But he's saying, if you believe that, consider what kind of person you ought to be. And then he gives a little more about the new heaven and the new earth. He says, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent to be found of him in peace and without spot. This sort of teaching should refine our lives. It should teach us to be careful how we live and to live that we might be found in him, peace, without spot and blameless. Verse 15, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. The long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Why hasn't he come back yet? I mean, wouldn't y'all, I say this phrase a lot where I say, man, if I could push a button, like today, let me say this, if I could push a button and make social media go away, I'd push it. I'd push it right now. Say, well, I like social media. I don't have that sort of button. Don't worry. But I would. I think it's, yes, there's good that has happened, but man, I think it's captured too many people. Anyway, I say that kind of stuff all the time. If I could push a button and make that happen, I would. But I find that I don't have any of those buttons. There's times where if I could push a button and make the Lord show up right now, I'd push it. But he's not. Now, who knows the timing better, me or him? Good, him. Him. Why hasn't he come back? Well, account that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. Apparently, there's still folks that need to get saved. Don't we have friends and loved ones we'd sure love to see saved before he returned? Okay. You see how when we expect his coming, it ought to even change the way we witness. I mean, if we really think he might come back tomorrow, it would inspire us to be more vocal today. So, account of the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. Verse 16, and also, I'm just going to read this because Peter talks about Paul's writing, specifically in the area of prophecy and some of these thoughts. Also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, that they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So, you know, he's saying there's some things that are difficult to understand and grasp. And there's some that aren't grown up enough in the Lord maybe to really grab these things, and they wrestle with these things. But then he says, verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. You see what he's saying? There's a privilege of knowing. Not everyone knows Jesus could come back at any moment. And if they have heard that, they think, these people are crazy, right? I mean, you can go back in chapter 3, you can read, there's scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where's the promise of his coming? There's people who would think, man, these people are crazy that Jesus would come back. But he's saying, you know. You and I, we know he's coming. It seems to me we're going to be left without excuse. Beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So the point of this prophecy teaching, and so again, I think sometimes we get lost in all the stuff that we kind of enjoy as humans, you know. We like to sort of dig into that, all the weird stuff, and we miss the point of the teaching, which is, what manner of persons ought you to be? How should I live, knowing that he's coming back, and knowing that, yeah, there's going to be an Antichrist, and knowing that there's going to be a battle of Armageddon and the return of Christ? Many people that Christ rejecting are going to be killed, and there's going to be a millennial reign, and in that millennial reign, apparently, there'll be some reward passed out there, and I'll be serving alongside Christ and for Christ during that millennial reign. That ought to affect how I live. So we can't miss the point of it, just getting lost in the details of the prophecy. Because, I'll tell you, you read the New Testament, Just read it, and you read any time that it talks about the blessed hope, which is the rapture. You see the words blessed hope or the day of Christ in your Bible, it's the rapture. So you read those passages, they always have two things. How are you living? And they're always laced with hope. Jesus is coming. So I just want us to start of that mindset, okay? There's a hope of redemption. We're blessed for study. It's the revealing the testimony of Jesus, and it should and ought to help us live right. So, history of the kingdom. Here's what we're going to do. That is good enough for tonight. We're going to do our introduction, okay? I'm not even going to get into the notes. It's 5 till. You're welcome. I don't want to rush through things that need to be carefully explained. I think the Lord knows what He's doing, and I just feel like if we don't get the point of what we're doing, we might as well not do it. And so think about those things this week. Why do we care about these events we're going to talk about? Well, because they should change the way we live. All right, let's pray. Lord, so thankful for you, for your word that you've given us. And Father, help us as we go through this, Lord, to rightly divide the scriptures. Help us to just use the Bible to help us to understand what you're saying is going to happen. I pray it'd be so clear from your word. But I pray as we look at these things, and I'm excited to look at them, as we look at them, Lord, I pray you would help it to resonate in our heart that the history we've looked at has happened, and these things are going to happen, and therefore we ought to live like it. And Lord, just help us not to miss the point of the prophetic teaching in your word. I pray you'd dismiss us with your love tonight as we go out, and we go from this place, and we go about our day. Just tomorrow and the next day, help us to be a light, help us to be a witness, help us to serve others, and Lord, help us to just be the type of Christians you want us to be. I pray you'd give us a good remainder of the week and bring us back Sunday for a good Lord's Day together. Well, thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.